Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Let's get some breaking news now. As the United States says it is not inviting South Africa to participate in next year's G20 events. President Donald Trump has confirmed this on social media platform, or rather Truth Social. Trump also says the U.S. will stop all payments and subsidies to Pretoria, accusing the country of targeting white farmers and confiscating their land. This would be the first time in the G20's history that a member country is excluded from the gathering of world leaders. The development comes after the U.S. refused to attend this year's G20 meeting in Johannesburg following accusations by American officials of human rights violations in South Africa, claims that the government has rejected. Let's get more reaction right now. Our U.S. correspondent Simon Marks joins us from Washington for an update. Simon, good to have you on the program this evening. Having been on the ground in Johannesburg for the G20, and fast forward now to Trump's announcement that the U.S. will exclude South Africa from the 2026 G20, essentially punishing Pretoria for hosting. How seriously is that being taken globally right now?
Well, I think that this is now going to be a massive challenge for all of those international leaders that did attend the G20 last weekend in South Africa, the vast majority of whom hailed President Cyril Ramaphosa for not just his handling of the summit, but his handling of the entire year that South Africa occupied the presidency of the G20, that focus in the final leaders' declaration, 52 mentions of Africa contained in that document, and all sorts of work that is now supposed to continue, and a handover that is due to take place between South Africa and the United States, including basic procedural stuff. For example, South Africa needs to hand over the G20 website to the United States, which next month will begin its presidency of the Group of 20. It is far from clear that Donald Trump actually has the capacity to do what he says he is doing in this message on Truth Social. He's making it clear that this is a repercussion for yesterday's low-level handover of the gavel from the G20 summit at the level of lower-level civil servants, of course, following South Africa's refusal to accede to an 11th-hour demand last Thursday night for America's chargé d'affaires at the U.S. Embassy in Pretoria to be allowed to attend the closing ceremonies of the G20 summit. President Trump says, at my direction, South Africa will not be receiving an invitation to the 2026 G20, which will be hosted in the great city of Miami in Florida next year. Actually, as we've already reported here on Newsroom Africa Channel 405, it's not being hosted in Miami. It's being hosted in Doral in Florida, a city right next door to Miami, at President Trump's own personal golf club. He goes on to say, South Africa has demonstrated to the world they are not a country worthy of membership anywhere, and we are going to stop all payments and subsidies to them effective immediately. He's made that threat several times before, but it was only last weekend that his own government announced it was contributing $4.6 billion to the Global Fund, something that was a bit of a surprise when the news was announced. This social media posting again makes entirely false allegations against the South African government. It accuses the South African government of killing white people and randomly allowing their farms to be taken from them, and it accuses the New York Times and other media houses here of covering up that genocide that President Trump falsely claims is taking place in South Africa. So a big challenge now for European leaders and other world leaders. Are they going to go to Florida next year if South Africa is shut out?
Which brings me to my next question. Do other G20 members or leaders view it as a valid political move or just as a destabilizing power play with little legitimacy, the US having snubbed this meeting last week?
Well, I think the latter. I mean, look, it's not even clear he's got the authority to do this. South Africa is a founding member of the G20. Mm. It's far from clear that the incoming presidency can simply say to a long-standing member of the G20, you're not going to come to Florida. And certainly, it's far from clear that Donald Trump can issue that decree without setting the stage for other countries to decide if they're going to be willing to attend that G20 summit. I mean, there's ethical issues surrounding that summit. It's going to be held at his own personal golf club, which raises all sorts of ethical dilemmas for world leaders as to whether they're actually going to show up and patronize his own business, even as he continues to conflate America's national interest with the private personal interest of his own business organization. Mm. Now, Trump says he's not going to make any money out of hosting the G20 at his golf club next year, but clearly it will allow the golf club to market itself for many years to come off the back of having hosted an event like that. So, look, I mean, we know from that final paragraph in the leader's declaration that was published last Sunday night when the G20 summit wrapped up, that the leaders only agreed to work with the United States throughout 2026 and then said they looked forward to meeting again in the UK in 2027. And as we reported here on 405 at the time, that language did not seem to be entirely coincidental. So maybe this puts paid to the whole idea of a G20 summit in the United States next year, but it certainly raises enormous fresh questions about the bilateral relationship between Pretoria and Washington and about all sorts of other bilateral relationships between capitals around the world and a White House that is currently in thrall to a mercurial, quixotic president of the United States who, in this case, is once again articulating disinformation and basing policy upon it.
You call it disinformation, Simon, but still reflecting back in Johannesburg, or rather on Johannesburg, at that time, were there any visible signs that South Africa, as the host and now outgoing chair, is trying to reposition itself on the global stage, perhaps leaning more on alliances beyond the West?
Well, I think that was the whole tonality of the G20 summit last weekend. And this really only underscores it. Washington, of course, marginalized itself completely by removing itself from the G20 summit, not even allowing Vice President J.D. Vance or Secretary of State Marco Rubio to attend the event. That decision, announced by President Trump 2 weeks before the summit, came as a total surprise to them. J.D. Vance, as we know, was already planning to attend the summit in Donald Trump's stead. And what we saw all last weekend at NASREC, and it was symbolized, you know, by those images of so many world leaders congratulating President Ramaphosa on the successful stewardship of the summit, were, I think, fresh indications that many leaders around the world are now looking at forging other alliances and other relationships because they know that their relationship with the United States is on such unsteady ground. And, you know, one of the themes, of course, of the G20 last weekend was solidarity. Mm. And so what are world leaders going to do now when the moment is upon us, the need potentially to express solidarity with South Africa? You know, there is precedent for this kind of thing at the United Nations in the past. Mm. Back in the 1970s, the United States refused to allow Yasser Arafat, then the leader of the PLO, to travel to New York for a UN meeting that appeared to contravene a 1947 agreement that the United States had signed when the United Nations was first headquartered in New York. As a result, member states at the United Nations said, well, we won't hold the meeting in New York. We'll all travel to Geneva. Mm. We'll meet Yasser Arafat in Geneva. And maybe the other 19 members of the G20 or 18 decide to express solidarity with South Africa by saying, forget it, we'll not go to Miami, but we'd like to do this G20 summit this year somewhere else. That's problematic because America is about to host, is about to become, you know, the presidency of the G20. But I think all of this raises huge questions about whether that summit next year is actually going to take place.
Simon, let's shift gears and go back to this. Trump has announced a halt to all payments and subsidies to South Africa, effective immediately. From your sources, how unprecedented is this move? And what could be its immediate economic impact on South Africa?
Well, I think there's a bit of hyperbole in what he's saying, because that, by my count, I think is the third time that he has made that announcement over the last several months that he's going to stop all payments and subsidies effective immediately. And yet we know they just contributed $4.6 billion to the Global Fund. We know, for example, that some targeted aid programs relating to PEPFAR have continued to operate in South Africa. But we also know that this is coming at a time when a Republican Senator, John Kennedy from Louisiana, has tabled an effort in Congress to renew AGOA, but to explicitly to remove South Africa from the preferential tariff regime that AGOA contains. And we also know, of course, that South Africa has struggled and so far failed to secure any progress on a trade deal between Pretoria and Washington, D.C. So, you know, President Trump, as I say, has said this before. Whether this means that any of the stuff that he's just announced, or the government here has just announced, that $4.6 billion to the Global Fund is being rethought is very unclear. But it definitely shows that the bilateral relationship is getting worse and worse. I think there is a big decision point for the South African government right round the corner. Brent Bozell, a prominent Trump ally, an icon of the conservative right here in the United States, last week won approval from the Senate International Relations Committee to be the next U.S. ambassador to South Africa. He's just waiting for a full vote in the Senate. It will definitely go through. Is the South African government really going to accept Brent Bozell as America's next ambassador to South Africa, given that Ibrahim Rasool, of course, was chucked out of this country, the South African ambassador to the United States, earlier this year? That is now, I think, a new decision-making issue for President Ramaphosa and for Ronald Lamola.
Yeah. Before I let you go, Simon, and also looking ahead, what do you think this means, especially for South Africa's future engagement with the U.S. or its global financial institutions and international development agencies?
Well, look, I mean, I think the road continues to get narrower and narrower in terms of dealing with the Trump administration. And there's a massive question here. You know, as Trevor Manuel was telling us last week here on News from Africa, the troika that oversees the G20, which consists of the last country to host the Leaders' Summit, i.e. now South Africa, the next one to host it, the United States of America, and the one to host it after that, which will be the UK, those three countries are supposed to, they are required to work very closely in concert with one another, because there are all of these working groups and procedural issues that are supposed to get handed over from one presidency to the next and then to the next. And we know that the Americans sent no G20 Sherpas to Johannesburg for the Leaders' Summit, so there was no opportunity for them to receive anything, to learn anything from South South Africa and their G20 Sherpas about how that process works. We know that America has talked about stripping the G20 and taking it back to basics. I mean, I think what is going to take place here is going to present particularly Keir Starmer, the British Prime Minister, with a significant dilemma now, because he's supposed to inherit the G20 presidency from President Trump, and he's desperately tried to avoid reaching any sort of Donnybrook with Donald Trump over anything up until now. This is definitely going to put him, along with the bilateral relationship between the United States and South Africa, into a fresh bind.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.